she talks about how when the people come home from the fields and their jobs, they sit on the porches and tell stories. And in the telling of their stories, they are changed from mules to men. Mules and women. Sorrow talked, eye to eye forgiven, is no more burden. The one who sings is no mere beast. The one who slipped the harness of the horror stands alive as earth. Today I can watch the wind and it is blue smoke. I shake myself inside my dress, consider rain, and choose shine. I was walking down Mississippi River Street and a ghost stopped me. No one could see it but me, standing in the middle of the sidewalk, smiling at a Hank with his hat in his hand instead of his head, when he can tote that too. When one mule die, the rest nay cry till the wagon take the dead thing away. Mississippi River Street, rampant with noise, radiant, won't hold still. But I have walked on blue black water, watched dead rise before the wagon came. Everywhere I see mules. Open mouths sing blues, then be human, then beyond. Funerals, weddings, baptisms, I take off my skin, hang it up like a soaked quilt to dry the tears and sweat from feeling. I stand naked before church, holding Dr. Watts closer than my sagging girlish breast. My soul wears no clothes when she sings. It is all being in love with more than one man who is one whole man. You can look into his eyes without blinking. Where would I go to hide? Dr. Watts standing with his skin hooked on his finger, and I am next to him solid and living the song with no words that every born-again mule knew in death and in life before birth now hums true again, hot in the chest and throat, breaking natural out the mouth like breathing. Where would I go to hide? Sit down, rock my soul like my baby, and Dr. Watts climb in my lap and moan for the milk no mother can buy or borrow, only make in hearts of her eyes, in lines of the palms of her hands. And where would I find lines with no skin? Where would I go to hide? I tell you I am living now. Like in Mississippi, Grandmama's bedroom, sitting on the high bed, you could break your neck leaving. Cousin Chubby said fried fish, greens, and cornbread was good eating. I am good living. Blue smoke watching, naked, Hank smiling, entertaining Dr. Watts, dreaming of a man with a white liver who can't kill me, who love mulish women, hainted ones. I am the sainted one, naked with no sense or memory, but good like God, rocking hums in my lap and looking for no hiding place, even if wind be blue smoke hurricane, and I make red milk in the hearts of my eyes and reach out my lifelines to a hopeless ain't. I can stand myself naked. Now where would I want to go to hide from? This funeral, wedding, death and birth baptism, the sliding tears washing my soul cleaner than Dr. Watts' whistle, or the look in a sweating man's eyes when he looking at a perfect, brutal son, killing him with living while he lick his lips and dream of water, then put his shoulder behind a woman guiding him while he dig in and groove the earth to the quick, deep, endless, quick. Where would I go? Where would I go to hide this yes crying love, yielding beyond flesh yet subsumed by sweat? Where would I go naked so, following blues and Dr. Watts like a double sing shadow, standing before you with only blue smoke between us, humming yes and yes and yes, subsumed by sweat and yielding beyond mere flesh? Embracing Hansel and Gretel in the time of famine. Syringe thin men with bloody eyes line up for the empty soup kitchens. As usual, the lies are true. Houses in famine time spit out children. Tables are turned and stingy. Mothers forget birth pangs, instead nurture hunger pains. While fathers grind gritty air between their teeth, wish for a bone to bury and savor beyond the gnawing gazes of starving children. Everyone has a program to run on an empty stomach. Think of somebody else to sell. Think of tears boiling in the pot. They evaporate and steam the bony meat and stony bread for you alone. Think of what you want. Listen to your stomach growl. Worship it. Think of somebody with a trusting heart to lead and lose in the forest. One less mouth to feed. Think of the food he or she will not use. We are all children with no more breadcrumbs, wandering between thorn-headed trees. We were hungry. We ate what little we had. We lost the light. We cannot find our way out. Our mother is the witch who waits to eat us. Our father is the one who waits to burn us in his oven. You want me to spell Ronald Reagan's name? I got a poem that has his name spelled in there someplace. It's in there. You want to hear that?
Yeah.
See, I said I was going to be nice. Well, it's hot up here. I got to take this. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay, let me spell Ronald Reagan's name. I'll just go on and spell. I was going to be nice, but you asked for it. Who said Republican? Most of my students are Republican. Aren't they? And we have to be so refined in the classroom. We have to say we can't talk about them too bad. We have to act all intellectual and analytical and get them in 101 papers and say, well, I think you should analyze this a bit more, dear. This is not quite logical. Litany for the misanthrope. I don't trust you, old white man at the desk. I don't trust you with buttons. I don't trust you with babies, the dreams blown wide open, sundered. You are not God the Father with snow in your beard. You are not Santa Claus with the star in his eye. Or maybe you are, and it is a dead star, a void collapsing, collecting dreams around the world, wind inside, white dwarf star. But no, you are not terrible. You are not deity twiddling trees by their trunks. You are a little old man with a beard. I know your name, Rumpelstiltskin. Rumpelstiltskin, I say it again. I'll keep my gold and my children. I know your name, Rumpelstiltskin. I do not trust you, gnome and oaf, goblin, gnarled, ghost, begging substance. Rumpelstiltskin, jump up and down where you are, wear yourself out, make a hole in the earth and fall in. This planet is not big enough for us both, little, little man, bag of dirty wind, beard of tears, blind iris, unstrapped teeth, delirium and tremens. I do not trust you with buttons or bottled spirits or virgins or maidens or mothers or fathers or brothers or breath or sisters or silence or trees or water or fire or the gold I spin, the gold I spare. I do not trust you anywhere. Go stand in the unemployment line. Feed your family off food stamps. Go watch TV 16 hours a day. Do not sleep. Nightmare out loud. Shrink inside the murder myths designed for your young's flexing minds. Go stay in a sty, in a Bantustan. Claim the dry homelands that spawned you. Eat dust and mushroom clouds imploding in your gut. Feast on rotted flowers. Carry your water from a mud well. Soothe your wrinkled skin with chemical warfare cream. Gnash your unlatched teeth in your hands. Make a moon of government cheese and worship it. Die in someone else's jungle, a long way from home. Pick roots in someone else's burned fields. May the roots be your own. Cry someone else's tears. May weeping never desert you. Rumpelstiltskin, you lying old gnome, you flatulent fake, you puffy-faced drunkard, you hallucinating hypocrite, you piteous sniveling pig snout, scurrilous scavenger, hunchback misanthrope, you bag of dirty wind, you beard of tears, jump up and down where you are, make your hole and lie in it, leave the rest of us alone. Okay, Tarzan is next. Every Sunday, I get him too. Every Sunday at 12 o'clock, I watch this station from Kansas City, and they play old Tarzan movies. But this was written when I was in Chicago, when a Tarzan movie came on about 12:30 at night. And in the movie, well, I'll tell you what happened. I don't usually like to talk to all this talking. I like the poems. Anyway, I was watching this movie, Tarzan Goes to New York. And yeah, there's one. Oh, it's so many of them. Anyway, Tarzan was in New York, and he took Cheetah. And Cheetah was on the phone. And Cheetah was on the phone. And then this black porter gets on the phone. And the black porter and Cheetah understand each other. They're talking. I got so mad. The village women. You remember that one? Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Well, I don't know why I'm always surprised. Okay. The village women and the swinging guest of Tarzan and Jane. The yodeling man is swinging through these trees again. His coconut milk body slides watery through the sky like rank old rain. The smell of him circles over our heads. He is a wild thing who kisses apes like kinsmen. He grunts at his woman. He drags her by the threads of her hair when his nature is high. Her cry is the hyena's out of a giraffe's neck. She is a delicate thing. Her cries rise above the trees and circle like scavengers that threaten us women as we carry our water from the river, as we beat the ash from our clothing. It is difficult to be clean among these swinging guests. They leave their droppings all over. A court of women climbed to intercede in their dispute, but she turned upon us after he lifted his fist from her mouth. She spoke from the floor of the treehouse from her back. We left them to their ape ways, those ape mates. But some days, when the sky is quiet, we hear them rustling through trees, squandering birds, disturbing our peace. I had wanted to bring a book, but everything was ready but the cover. Anyway, another television poem. In the 50s, or was it early 60s? Nat King Cole, well, there were hardly any black people on TV in the late 50s, early 60s. So when Nat King Cole had his show, that was a big event. And this was a major event in the house. And I have this image of my mother watching rapturously Nat King Cole. The mother behaves like a young woman with a lover when Nat King Cole comes on the box. She takes off her runover shoes. She removes her rerun stockings. She unzips her rehem skirt. She parts with her polyester blouse. She lays down on the sagging couch. Husband and children hide in the living room dark. The television glow slides over her slip like moonlight. Nat King Cole's glossed hair glistens like an onyx. His voice shines in her eyes. She closes them. His song ends on the edges of her Mona Lisa smile. Midnight sighs over the silence of sleeping children. She sleeps on and on the sagging couch until husband invites her to his bed. His voice newly tender, newly televised. Oh, spiders. Well, I guess I'll start with the spider from the movie The Spider. In about 1956 or 1957, maybe you remember I like horror movies. I can't get any of my friends to like horror movies. I like horror movies because I think they say something about the nature of the culture, right? Plus, I like horror movies. And I always identify with the monsters, too. And especially, yeah. And the monsters are always dark, and they're always these insignificant beings who rise up, you know? Rock and roll monster, down home blues goes Hollywood. And I think how many of you have ever seen the movie The Spider? You know, when it comes out the cave, okay. She was sitting in her black jute cave, listening to blues, eating bats, and getting fat. When the light bread people came, she ate the first man for a snack. Then the daughter came with yellow celery down her back and a boyfriend, and pretty soon a hippie blues spider can't win. They took her in, put on drugs, and propped her in a museum. Took her blues away, and she slept numb out of it, roped in and stupid, captured, came alive in a museum in 1957. Some white kids were playing rock and roll before the mashed potatoes, loud enough to wake the dead or dopey, woke the rock and roll in her pitch bush body. She got up on the wrong side of no bed, hair standing all over her head, catching radio waves, the voice of God she thought it was. She just wanted to put her hand on the music box and be saved. Sounded like somebody she know from home. But no, indeed, they snatched the bumpy tune and fled, scattered down Main Street with her musical treat. All she longed for was a good meal after a long sleep. Evil gal blues under her swampy lid crashed a fine, unshaved leg through teeny tiny whitey trim window like a black whip snapping Law and Order. Watched the pastel people pee and flee, stalked high-heeled blondes with screaming Brussels sprouts in their arms, all looking good enough to eat, but rescued in the nick of time. Monster wanna rock and roll over in her own bed, back in the juke joint cave. She moonwalk her regal walk on home, ate sheriff intruder at her leisure, his whole body hors d'oeuvres. His skeleton left an empty, lazy Susan. She just wanna pick her teeth, snap her fingers, drink a Bloody Mary, and listen to some down-home blues loud. She wanna lay around with her hair wild and legs unstyled, smell her own funk and dream the rest of her cave black night. Got, instead, a mouthful of dynamite. Ain't that cold? The itsy bitsy spider climbs and analyzes. The sadists squeal with glee in the nursery while tiny limbs break. They chant my peril like soprano Gestapo, blonde bangs, spit polished, rose cheeks, and toothless tulips. They sing the bright evil tune because their mothers hate me and teach them rhyming hate. They have no symphonic sympathy and tell my story with murderer's hands, hatchet hands, hose hands. They send me up my wall again, bedraggled and futile, ligaments broken, eyes lost, limp. Soon they tire of my agony. Their mothers teach them new hand tricks for the heartless. This is the church, this is the steeple, open the doors, and in come the people. In her solitude, the Inca, you're doing this, is the church. You know, kindergarten kids can be pretty vicious. You know, anyway, if you've seen them, they get real, real fierce. You know, yeah, murder, gore, kill them. In her, this is from, I began to collect myths of the spider from around the world. Friends were generous enough to share. Anytime somebody would see something about a spider, they would bring it to me. Leslie Miller at Stevens says, here's one. There's an article on the spider and the wasp, and it just seemed to be the perfect, I'll read that later, the perfect metaphor for South Africa. And this is from the Inca people. In her solitude, the Inca divining spider. It is dark in the pot where he keeps me, the Inca priest with gold rings on his golden wrist, El Dorado. I smell the clay and the sweat from the human hands that made my bowl of solitude, where I wait in darkness, captive, humming. The priest, his hand trembles when he lets in sun to look at me. He squints at the way I sit. When I sprawl, legs spread, extravagantly loitering in my pot, it's a good sign, and his teeth glint a smile. When I sit, with even one leg folded under me, like the woman that I am with a bad attitude, he trembles from smile to fingers, tremors. I am a bad omen. He seals me in again and prays for my legs to open. Tarantula revolts against the grave-digging wasp. For Kiropetsi Kokotsitsilia, a South African poet who's in Tanzania now, and he is with the liberation movements for South Africa. Leslie Miller, my friend at Stevens, and the freedom fighters of Southern Africa. And that would include the wonderful Stevie Wonder, who was one of the few musicians of integrity who just got arrested this week outside the South African embassy. I was so happy he was arrested. I think Prince ought to get arrested for more reasons than one. This is the actual relationship between the wasp, the grave-digging wasp, and the tarantula. I spend my life weaving in three dimensions, in solitary pursuit of fragile symmetry, repetition of changes in my divine monotony. I do not break my pattern. I must not trouble my mind with dreams that do not evolve between my legs. I know what I know, am happy knowing the ease of thread through eyes, the breeze on my belly. Isn't joy enough if I own my own service? Once joy was enough. In late summer, when the sun draws cool silence against my designs, the blue wasp arrives. She wanders all over me. She is Marco Polo visiting China. She is Perry walking in the black snow of my hairs. She is Columbus who has traveled wrong and found the right island. She remembers me who has never known me and all my body offers. She greets me gratefully. I welcome her. I am a gracious host. I have spent my lives in lonely pursuit of symmetry. I have never imagined her. Then she comes for me, blue flame-winged malice. I rise to fight. We bruise, dance black and blue as we tangle. We roll, somersault, tumble together. She finds my soft spot and shoots me full of nightmares. At last, I lay lost, vanquished. Dreamily, I watch the blue wasp dig my grave. Dreamily, I watch the grave digger wasp. I observe my murder. She drags me to my grave. She plants her egg on me. Out of the egg, the larva bursts, hungry at first, minuscule. It feasts on nectar from my abdomen. It devours my eyes, my genitals. It colonizes, consumes. It grows strong. They say who cannot see, I do not move while the wasp guts me. Its young body glued to my belly, tunneling through my underside. When I am nothing left but bone standing dry, its young will be strong and walk upright, even fly. They will make laws that tell me who I am and what my design. They break my monotony. The whole world asks, why do I stand still for such gluttony? Why don't I resist? There is sorcery in the flight of blue wings. I welcome the embrace at first, until she pierces me. Then I fight, oh, everything. Instinct, self-surrender, wasp, weapons on weapons, the heat of hypnosis falling over me. I said once, the wasp is so few, I can wait for it to pass. I said, I am many, I can lose and not be gone. I said, I am strong. I said, my pattern is even more beautiful, blood washed. I said, I am generous. I said, I don't believe in taking. I said, I cannot break the circles of my dying dance. I said, shame making things. Then I fought. I fight with eyes, mouth, muscle, waiting for my nation to rise. I have drawn myself in three dimensions. I have smashed the witch wasp spell. I have torn her wings into confetti to cushion my nest. I have murder in all my eyes. I outnumber wasp. I outrage wasp. I overrun wasp. Whoever of me dies, dies alive.
When you get new poems, you want to read them and I, oh, okay, well, I'm in Africa.
In Eastern Africa, the custom is to share even the last whenever a kinsman asks. Well, by now, I guess the whole world has seen the famine in Africa. You've seen women. You've seen women. Sometimes I think a woman, a wailing woman, comes out of the television and squats in my living room. And she talks. A road scrawled under an unforgiving sun, tattooed with families, lost bands, littered with what is left when breath is gone, when water is gone, when desperate hope flutters and leaves, like the last birds, broken threads. I carried my child on my last legs. On my last legs, I stumbled out of nothingness into nothingness. On this road, the women, when they spoke words without begging, asked, "Where is God?" The men dragged through sands, hunting. If you have, you must give. If someone asks, you must say yes. As far as eyes can see, broken threads and nothingness. I pick up sticks for firewood, and sticks have turned to children, their last breath scribbling in blowing sands. This dream breaks me, and nothing comes out. Whose wail stretches dry air wide into a hole like a grave, yanks flesh back and back, pulling my teeth one by one, my children one by one, my husband, my household fallen, ragged spasms in sand, flailing, stirring loose earth, wailings wailing over broken nets, broken sticks scattered, the unwatered heart, where is God? I am I who has lost all. I am who has lost everything. The ghost of thread stretch over all this wailing, this shifting earth, these breathless sticks. This is who we are, women and men and children, all the names for God thrown up to inscrutable sky, bones cast across nothingness, the unwatered heart. If someone asks, you must say yes. And I'm going to close with two. I didn't read Transform the Girl. Well, that's okay. I'll close with the birds. The outcast learns the language of birds. I do not know the names of birds hiding in the tall grass, who rise as one thought as I pass the slope of the hill. They talk about me behind my back, hiding now high in the trees. They look down on me, wingless, clumsy, walking. I am the outcast among birds, the though we are all dark and glistening before sunset. They think I cannot speak their language, but each day the foreigner collects words stumbled upon on the hills, untangled from the sweep of the trees. They say air, light, wing, home, wind, glide. And lastly, the spiders are going to be mad because I didn't read more of them, but well, they're in open places, and one day they might be in a book. One day. The outcast sings the liturgy of the birds. There was an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and I take the St. Louis Post-Dispatch so that I can believe I live in a city. Instead of Columbia, Missouri. Anyway, there was an article on how birds know when to go and how to go. Yeah. And there were all these different theories of how they knew. One of them was they could hear the sounds of mountains and ocean. And another was they memorized the placement of stars. And well, I thought the birds were pretty wise. We know there is one map with many markings. We know there is one path, umbilical, between the cave and us. We know there is one map with many markings, halos of sound humming, the hungry children blossom in loud, bloody aura. The dead lend us light. Dreams scatter like breadcrumbs, lest we lose the way. Breadcrumbs scatter like dreams. We know there is one map with many markings. We have seen the writing in our palms. We know where whistling goes, the hum. We know there is a road. We know there is a road of star mark, moon signpost, earth sensible, singing, unsilent, guide us. Rise, bright and wise in mountain sounds beside the language of oceans. All the rocks cry out under us. Trees wail the way. Earthquakes touch the tiniest heart. We eavesdrop on the ecstasy of water and stone. We know there is a road. We know there is one map with many markings. We lengthen into light.
Thanks to our featured artists tonight, Angela Jackson, Edward Boccia, Darwin Apple, and thanks to all of you. You've been a great audience, and I hope you come back to see us March 18th when Jerome Rothenberg will be here, or at the Garden March 10th for Stanley Elkin. Thank you again, and have a good evening. Visit our book table on the way out and take a look at River Styx and Open Places, please.